Now, that is my slight link into us talking to Mifanui. Hello, Mifanui, how are you?
I'm really well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. So Mifanui's our 105 vet, and she's here. Today, we're going to talk about taking your pets abroad, or if you're going on holiday, what to do with your pets.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So where should we start? Can you take any animals abroad?
Well, theoretically, you can, but... Mm-hmm. In practice, actually, it's quite tricky to take a lot of pets abroad. So while ever we're in Europe, we have a particular scheme called the Pets Travel Scheme, PETS, excellent acronym. And that's the way that you can transport cats, dogs and ferrets to take
that's
them.
That's quite random.
I know, it's a bit strange, isn't it? So that's the mixture that's covered under the Pets Travel Scheme, and that's the pet passport that lots of people might be familiar with. But it is only valid in Europe. And if you wanted to take your pet somewhere else, or you wanted to take another animal that wasn't a cat, dog or a ferret, then you would have to use some different rules. So it does depend a little bit, but we'll probably focus mostly on the cats and dogs going to Europe, mm-hmm. because that's kind of the most straightforward. There are lots of different rules if you want to take your horse abroad. But
right, I guess that's
people,
sort of competing with
yeah,
me more.
Yeah.
Maybe people want to go on a trekking holiday, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You never know. But as I say, we'll probably focus on cats and dogs.
Okay.
And there are lots of things that you have to do in preparation to take your cat or dog or ferret
why ferrets? Must have been some point that there was a reason why they did that.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. I suspect it's because they carry very similar diseases to cats and dogs, and so it's easy to lump them in the same kind of group. Whereas, for example, a guinea pig, which you could also take abroad perfectly, relatively simply, is obviously quite different. So if you want to take your rodent abroad, then you can do, but you have to check that the country will accept them and they may have to go through quarantine.
Which may not be worth it depending on how you're going.
Absolutely. Yeah. So essentially, if you're not under the Pets Travel Scheme, the country that you're heading to may well require the pet to go into quarantine prior to entry, and the UK may well also require them to go into quarantine upon re-entry. So it's
Does quarantine last four months? Oh, wow.
Yeah, long time.
So that's really if you're kind of moving abroad or you're working abroad, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are special rules for places like America where they've got very known diseases and things like that. But essentially, all of these rules, if you're a pet owner, they can feel quite difficult to deal with and you can feel a little bit blighted by the bureaucracy. But they are all essentially to do with trying to protect human health and livestock and animal health. So particularly one of the things we worry about for going abroad are diseases like rabies, which we obviously don't have in the UK, but is actually quite common across a lot of Europe and a lot of other countries. So if you want to take your dog or your cat abroad, there are basically a few things that you have to do. The first thing is they have to be microchipped. So this is a way of identifying your cat or dog or ferret. And it's already a legal requirement for all dogs in the UK to be microchipped. So if you've got a dog and you're taking them on holiday with you, that shouldn't be an issue. But
I mean, that's a really good thing to have for cats and dogs anyway.
Yeah. And another thing, you know, if you're getting your pet microchipped, please make sure that their details are up to date on the database. It's not the vet's responsibility to update your change of address with your microchip holder. So if you do move house or you want a telephone number added, then you must do it yourself and contact the microchip supplier, because we find so many times we get, you know, stray animals brought into us and they've got a microchip and you think, great, wonderful. And then you phone the telephone number and it's disconnected or the people have moved. And that's so frustrating because these owners are never reunited with their pets. But anyway, so if you want to go abroad, the first thing you have to do is make sure that your pet is microchipped. And the second thing is they have to have a rabies vaccination.
Right. And how long before you go away?
So they can have the rabies vaccination the day before they go away, but they can't re-enter for 3 weeks. So basically, if you're going to go there and back within a short space of time, the limit is 3 weeks. So you need to get your rabies injection 3 weeks before they come back into the UK. Because they have rabies in Europe, we don't have it here, we don't want it brought back in,
right,
essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the old days, back in sort of 2012, you used to have to have a blood test to check that your pet had actually responded to the vaccine, but you don't have to do that anymore for Europe. If you were to travel to America, you would have to have that blood test, and that would be what allows you to not have to go through quarantine. But for the Europe, just get them vaccinated. That vaccine has to be recorded in their pet passport, which is where their microchip number is also recorded. And then they also will have to have a tapeworm treatment before they come back in to UK. So a worming tablet. And the vet on the continental European side will have to sign the passport to say that they've had that treatment.
Oh, so you have to go and see a vet wherever you are.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So that's for dogs and cats still.
Dogs, cats, yeah, absolutely.
We won't worry about ferrets too much, but yes.
Yeah, so dogs and cats, so they both have to have a tapeworm treatment. And one of the other things to bear in mind is, particularly if you're going for a longer period of time, we vaccinate our dogs and cats against diseases that are most likely to be at risk to in the UK. But for example, if you're going to go to maybe Spain or Greece with your dog or your cat, they have very different diseases. And so if you're going to be there for a long time, maybe a couple of months, especially if your pet's going to be able to roam freely and meet local animals, you may well also want to think about having them vaccinated at a local veterinary practice so that they're getting the vaccines for the diseases that are local to that area.
And you could get those, I guess, when you get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it's always a really good idea if you are taking your pet abroad to have an idea of where the local veterinary practice is and have an idea of whether or not they speak English. You would be amazed. There are lots and lots of English-speaking practices all over Europe and the rest of the world because vets, we like to go and work in exotic places. So a lot of the time, you know, I've worked in Cyprus for a couple of months on a couple of occasions now. So you do find that you are the kind of go-to vet for people on holiday and expats and things. So always check before you go because they can still get a thorn in their foot on holiday or all that kind of thing. So it's always a good idea to have that in place. And if you are going somewhere more exotic, the DEFRA website, so gov.co.uk, DEFRA website has all of the information that's specific to that country. And although it's not a requirement, I would always encourage everyone that's taking their pet on holiday to always consider flea, tick and worm prevention before and after they come back, particularly for the Mediterranean countries where they've got lots of parasite diseases that we don't have here. And a lot of them are also transmissible to humans. And you don't want to bring that back and then find that you've got some really nasty skin disease that your dog has accidentally given you. So always bear in mind that, you know, the warmer it is, the nastier the diseases often are. So we don't want any sort of Trojan diseases sneaking on the backs of our pets. And the same actually also applies if you're going abroad to rescue dogs. So lots of people these days are getting rescues from the continent and they're bringing them back from shelters, for example, in Romania and Bulgaria. These dogs are potentially quite a high risk in terms of disease import to UK pet populations. So it's really important to make sure that before you do bring them into the UK, you check and that you...
And you follow all the rules,
always follow all the rules because although they might seem bureaucratic, they're there for everyone's health and protection. And, you know, we don't want rabies in the UK. We're really lucky that we don't have it. So it's really important to check with DEFRA.
And I'm guessing any of those little parasites as well, once they get into animals or yourself, they're really hard to get rid of, aren't they?
Absolutely. And once they're circulating in the population here and they're maybe living on, you know, our wildlife and things, it can cause real problems. So it's really important to always follow the rules.
Okay. And what about if you are taking them? Is it okay to fly with them or to go on ferries or in the car? And do they need to be in containers?
So if you're transporting your pet for any sort of significant distance, they have to be kept in an appropriate container. So the rules on what is appropriate are a bit vague, but basically if you're taking a dog or a cat, they ought to be in a crate in the car, and they should never be loose. So they should be in a crate, and if you're travelling over 50 miles essentially, and they need to have access to water.
I've seen dogs in a harness, like a seatbelt harness.
Yeah, so if they're going for short journeys, that's fine, but for longer journeys they have to be in a crate.
Oh, okay, I didn't realise.
So I think the rule is 50 miles basically. So most domestic travel it's fine, but if you're driving a long way they should always be in a crate. Absolutely, ferry travel is absolutely fine, car travel is absolutely fine.
You said access to water and food. I'm guessing some
stuff. So normally what you do is you would either stop regularly to give them water, or you can actually get these amazing little gyroscopic water bottles.
I was wondering whether there's something like that.
Yeah, that move. Yeah. And they're available online. So they're a good idea, particularly if you are going a bit further. If you are taking them on another form of transport, like a ferry or a plane, then you do have to make special arrangements direct with the ferry company or the airline. And particularly if you're thinking about flying your pet, you have to bear in mind find that they're not allowed in the cabin with you.
I know, it's
so
horrible.
Yeah, so they do have to go alongside the luggage in a pressurised. It is pressurised.
Oh, okay.
So
it didn't make me feel slightly better.
Yeah, so it's better than just a suitcase, but they do end up going in the hold. So you're not allowed to sit with them, you know, next to you like they are on domestic flights in America. That's not the case in the UK. But if you are wanting to, for example, emigrate, you can fly out of, for example, I think some airports in Ireland and some airports in France, and they will let you have them in the cabin with you. But it's the sort of thing that you really need to go and investigate. But generally speaking, if you're taking your pet on a plane, they will be going in the hold. And so you will have to make arrangements with the airline for that. And there are, again, via the DEFRA website, there are approved carriers available. And I would always recommend going with an approved carrier. Because unfortunately, it sounds terrifying, but in the same way that they can lose our luggage, they can lose our pets. Mm. So it's really, really important that you go with an approved provider.
Was that the same for ferries, or can you take them?
So for a ferry, if you're going with your car, for example, you would have to notify them that you were taking your pet. But yes, it would be a lot more straightforward to go across on the boat.
But would you take them out of the car? You wouldn't.
You'd leave them in the car.
But with windows open?
Yeah,
or something,
with windows open, yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
And normally, actually, they don't let you leave the vehicle. So you normally have to sit there the whole time with them as well.
It's all things to bear in mind, though, isn't it? For whether you're going to do this or not.
Yeah. And I think the first question you need to ask yourself, actually, is when you're thinking about taking your pet abroad, is why do I want to take them abroad? Mm-hmm. Is it for their benefit? Is it for my benefit? Is it for convenience? Because a lot of people have a nice romantic view of what it would be like to have their dog with them running across a beautiful white beach in Spain or something. But actually, they don't like the journey a lot of the time. They often find the heat quite stressful. So unless they're used to it, or, you know,
or you're emigrating or whatever,
exactly.
I guess.
You know, if they have the temperament to suit, then it's obviously fine. But it is important to consider whether or not they're actually going to enjoy it, because it can be very stressful. And as vets, you know, we don't really think it's acceptable to sedate or drug them in order for this sort of thing. So generally speaking, we wouldn't be looking to sedate someone's pet just so they can take it on holiday. So then I guess that brings us round to the alternatives of what you can do if you're going on holiday and you don't want to take your pet abroad. And the first thing, obviously, is the most traditional, is to take them to a kennels or a cattery. And they're usually boarding houses where you have a little space that's dedicated just to your pet, and they're on their own or with their housemate if they're co-housed with another cat or dog, and you know, all of their needs are hopefully looked after there. And again, you know, go and visit the kennels, go and visit the cattery.
Is there a kind of like an approved,
so there are things, different certificates, but there's lots of different schemes.
Right.
So I would always recommend to people to go on, you know, personal recommendations, and also they all kennels and catteries have to be registered with the council. So that's the kind of common thing, and they have to have a license. So you can always check with the county council to check that they are actually a licensed premises. And if they're not a licensed premises, then do contact the council and let them know that someone's operating as an unlicensed kennels. But always go and visit, because you know what your pet likes, you know the kind of environment that they like, and you'll be able to have a feeling for whether or not your cat or dog is going to be stressed or not there. So that's one option, and that's probably the thing that most people do if they are leaving their pets behind. But again, some pets find that quite stressful. They don't like the separation from their own environment. And that's where getting people like pet sitters or, you know, even just neighbours popping in can be really helpful as well. If you've got cats in particular, there are these amazing multi-automatic feeders, and they'll dish out doses and they'll uncover the food and the water over different days. So if you're going away just for a couple of days, that might well be appropriate. Obviously, for a dog, you're going to have to make sure someone comes in to walk them, so it's a little bit more challenging.
We also found with our cats that if somebody's not around, they wander, they go and find people.
So my cat likes to have someone to sleep on.
Oh.
So she gets very upset if she hasn't got someone to sleep on. So I have to get somebody to come in and actually stay.
We've started doing that just to stop the wandering thing when we can. So a shout out to my lovely friend Beth if she's listening.
But this is again one of those moments where it's really important, before you go on holiday, check that your microchip details are up to date, because it is the most common time for people to lose their pets, particularly cats. Make sure that all those contact details are up to date. And do remember, you know, if your dog goes wandering or your cat goes wandering, there may well be a charge either at the dog warden or from the cat's rescue centres for being reunited with your pet.
Oh.
And they're perfectly within their rights to do so. So, you know, do make sure that all of your house is in order before you go on holiday with with regard to your pets. And if you are going away and you're leaving and leaving somebody else in charge of your pet, then make sure that things like their vaccination records, their medical history, you know, who their vet is and the vet contact details are all available to whoever it is that you're entrusting with your pet. And have conversations before you go about, you know, what you want to be contacted about, because the worst case scenarios unfortunately are quite bad, and it can be very difficult. I often find myself having to have horrible conversations with owners who are on holiday, and I have to talk to them about the fact that their cat has maybe been hit by a car, or that their dog has been diagnosed with a terminal disease, and we have to have big horrible conversations. But equally, it can be small things like you know, they've eaten some chocolate, or they've got a claw that's pulled off, and you just,
or a thorn, like you're saying,
a thorn,
grass seeds
simple,
at this time,
seeds, simple things like that. So have conversations with these people about, you know, what you're happy for them to say yes to without phoning you, and what you want to be phoned for, and all this kind of thing. So make sure that, in the same way that you would for your child, make sure that all of these things are ready for your pet as well.
That sounds great. Thank you very much. I've certainly learnt a lot from that. And yeah, great. So it's something, food for thought for if you're going away. Thank you very much. And we're going to see you at the end of this month, aren't we? Talking about pets in the heat wave.
Yes, how to look after our pets in the heat.
Lovely. So we'll see you then. Thank you ever so much, Vanu. It's 1:45. Let's have a look at the travel again.